Hey friends, welcome to the Fielder Worship Team Devotional Podcast. This is our space to refocus, recharge, and realign our hearts, minds, and bodies as we learn to follow God together. Our mission is to point people to Jesus, and these devotionals are here to help us grow closer to Him as we prepare to lead out in worship. No matter where you serve on this team, this podcast is for you. My prayer is that each episode is an opportunity to inhale the gospel so that we can exhale together as we serve the church. Let's jump into today's devotional together. What does someone have to do to earn your attention? What about your time? Or maybe even your money? For me, my mind immediately goes to coffee shops. A coffee shop earns my time and my money by having a clean environment, decent coffee, and good seating. And Wi-Fi is also a must. Maybe your mind goes to sports teams. When they're winning, or maybe even when they're not, they have your attention and possibly even a good chunk of change if you're willing to go see them in person. Maybe it's a band or a singer. For some, gadgets and tech win your attention through innovative features. All of us have a threshold for what we're willing to spend our focus, time, and money on. Now, is there anything in your life that you'd be willing to work a year for, spending that level of time and attention trying to get it? Or better yet, is there anything you'd be willing to spend a year's salary on? A few of you may say yes. I'm thinking like car purchases, homes. A few select other things. But in general, the answer is probably not. Now let's up the stakes just a little bit. Is there anything you'd be willing to spend a year's salary on that you can only use once? Most, if not all of you, are probably shaking your head no at this point. But this is exactly what a woman named Mary does in the book of John. We'll be reading from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And it says this: 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Let's set the scene just a little bit. In the previous chapter, John chapter 11, Jesus had done the impossible. He had raised a man named Lazarus from the dead after he had already been dead for 4 days. You can read about it in John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. This was more than just a resuscitation. This was true resurrection. In chapter 12, Jesus goes to share a meal with the newly raised Lazarus and his sisters Martha and Mary. And Mary does something a little bit odd at this meal. She takes a pound of expensive perfume made from a substance called nard and anoints Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. What an interesting thing to do at the dinner table. No one in the room would have missed this, one, because of the strange nature of this act, and two, because the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You can almost step into the silence and tension of that moment. As she approaches Jesus, the noise of their shared meal dies down. All eyes are on her as you hear the perfume being opened, the expensive liquid pouring out, the light swishing of her hair wiping his feet. And as she continues, the whispers in the room start. In John's version of the story, Judas Iscariot is the first to speak up. Why did she waste this wildly expensive perfume? She could have sold it and given the proceeds to the poor. He points out that this bottle of perfume probably cost 300 denarii. A quick note, a denarii is equivalent to a day's wage, and the average working-class Jewish person worked about 300 days per year. Essentially, she emptied a year's salary worth of perfume in one sitting. And who is the recipient? Jesus. This is the definition of extravagance. A year's worth of work was used up in one moment. Some scholars say that if she was unmarried, this bottle could have even been Mary's future dowry, the price her family would need to pay to give her hand in marriage. If that's true, this wasn't just financially costly. It could have put her entire future on the line. And for what? Why would she do this? The word worship in English comes from two parts. The root worth, which can simply mean value, and the suffix ship, which in this case means the state or condition of something. So worship is the value we place on something based on its state or condition. Mary knew exactly what she was doing. She knew the value of who she was bestowing this costly and precious gift upon. Remember that just a chapter before, Mary and her sister Martha were mourning the death of their brother. But then Jesus steps into the picture and everything begins to change. The scene is full of possibility and expectation, and then Jesus does the impossible, raising up Lazarus from the dead. This preacher from the small town of Nazareth is more than just a man. He is the resurrection and the life, and Mary recognizes this. So she does the only thing that makes sense to do. She takes her most costly, valuable, maybe even most treasured possession and pours it out on the feet of Jesus. She gets flack for it from others, sure, but Jesus regards her gift of worship, of value on who he is, as good and right and blessed. As one commentator writes, Jesus graciously accepted the act of dedication that many might consider both strange and wasteful. When was the last time worship cost you something? It could have been a worship moment in a church service where you let dignity fly out the window. Or maybe it was a moment of radical generosity that left others thinking that you were being unwise with your finances. Could be any number of things, but the question stands. Are you willing to worship Jesus, even when it's costly? Those around you, even other Christians, may not understand the worship you're offering to Jesus. They may see it as wasteful, as strange, as over-the-top or unnecessary fanaticism. Are you willing to be seen as all of those things if Jesus accepts your act of worship as good and right and blessed? Worship is costly. When we encounter the one who raises dead things to new life, the one who has resurrected us from the grave we were living in, how else can we respond? We take what is most precious to us, and we lay it at his feet. If you've listened up to this point, you've reached the end of the devotional, but I've also recorded some reflection questions and a brief prayer if you'd like to stick around. I've built some time in between these questions to give you space to think, to respond, and even to wrestle with the Lord. I'll wrap it up with a short prayer based on the devotional content. All of this is also available in the show notes if you'd prefer to read through it. So let's take some time to reflect on these questions. Can you think of a time when you made a significant sacrifice in your worship of Jesus? What motivated you to do so? And how did it impact your faith and relationship with him? How do you practically express the value you place on Jesus in your daily life? What does this look like in your actions and your choices? How do you continue in your worship of Jesus when others misunderstand or even criticize your actions? What gives you the strength and assurance to continue your acts of worship despite opposition? Let's pray together. Father, I recognize that you sent Jesus to be the resurrection and the life, to be the one who raised me from the dead, to enjoy new life with you. I know that no act of worship or devotion can begin to repay what you've done for me. But I see the devotion and love of Mary, and I want a heart like hers. I want to give myself in worship to you, not caring what others around me think, and knowing that nothing that I spend on you is a waste. Let my worship be pleasing to you. And I know that whatever it costs me in money or time or reputation, I have already received so much more from you than I can give, and I will receive even more in the life to come. I worship you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.